take your sermon note sheet out of your bulletin this morning and turn it over to the backside that's blank because we're starting over. This morning, as I was getting ready to come here, early this morning received a text message from Jonathan regarding Savannah's passing, and God had just flooded my mind with the reality that He's brought me here to be your pastor, to be your shepherd, and sheep from time to time just need encouragement. And so I sat here and where Kay's sitting early this morning, and just crying out to God, God, what does that mean? What does it mean today for me to shepherd these people you brought to my care? And so as I was praying through that and wondering what does that look like, what does that mean, God just said, just point them to me. Just point them to me. And as I was praying through that, God said, just remind them that I am their shepherd. So this morning I want you to turn with me to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, we're going to walk through this together, and I will prepare you that I have spent multiple weeks working through this psalm. And so I'm just going to try to hit the highlights this morning. As we walk through this together, knowing that we could spend the entire month of December every Sunday walking through the truths that are here and still not get them all fleshed out. So I'm going to try to be succinct and walk through this together. Psalm 23, looking at verses 1 through 6. If you stand with me once again this morning as we read God's Word together. The Lord is my shepherd. There is nothing I lack. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his namesake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Let's pray together. Father, we come to realize this morning that you are the shepherd. There are a lot of things that come our way in our lives that seek to shepherd and guide and lead and direct us. But God, we realize that you are the only true, the only good, the only forever shepherd. So as we walk through this passage of scripture this morning together, God, I ask that you would open our eyes to see the truth that is here. Familiar psalm like this, sometimes, Father, we just kind of shut down and say, I've heard this before. But may your Spirit allow this to come alive to us and speak to us where we are. All of us at different places this morning and different challenges, but all of us need you. All of us need you as the shepherd of our souls, the shepherd of our lives. So, Lord, guide us. May every word that comes from my mouth be from you for these your sheep. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This psalm is often given the title, The Good Shepherd. This psalm is written by who? David. King David understood what it meant for God to be the shepherd. Notice as we walk through this, we're going to look at it verse by verse, almost word for word. But as we begin, we find that David makes this declaration, the Lord is what? My shepherd. He didn't say a shepherd. He didn't say some shepherd, somebody else's shepherd. This is ownership. The Lord is my shepherd. The quality of life for the sheep was dependent upon who the shepherd was. If you would like a book to read on this psalm, Philip Keller's book, A Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm, is an awesome book, written several years ago, but it's written from the perspective of someone who raised sheep for a living. He was a shepherd. That's what he did. And so as he unpacks this psalm, he unpacks it like a shepherd would. And David was doing what when God called him out to be king? I mean, he was a shepherd. He was taking care of his father's sheep. So David wrote this from the eyes of a shepherd. And so Philip Keller does a good job unpacking this, but realizing that the only way sheep have a good life is if they have a good shepherd, right? And David recognized the Lord was his shepherd. Isaiah 53:6 says, we all like sheep have what? Gone astray. We've all like sheep. We've gone our own way. We've done our own thing. We've walked life our way, but we need a shepherd. And David confesses that the Lord is his shepherd. Let me point out the reality for you this morning, that if that first sentence is not true for you, then the rest of it is useless to you, really. If you can't say, the Lord is my shepherd, then you can't claim any of the rest of this. If you don't personally say that the Lord of the universe is the one who guides, governs, directs, and provides for my life, then the rest of this is just words on a page. But when we do cry out to the Lord and recognize that he is the good shepherd, he's not someone else's, he is my shepherd. I cry to him every morning. I let him be my shepherd. I realize I'm just a sheep who's gone astray, and I need his leadership. When that happens, then the rest of this psalm begins to come true in our lives. The way that God becomes your shepherd is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus said, my sheep know me. I know them. And they listen to my voice, and they follow me. It's when we come to know Christ as Savior and Lord that God begins to become the good shepherd that we so desperately need. So as we unpack this, remember, it's all hinging on the reality that the Lord is my shepherd. He goes on in verse 1 to say, there is nothing I lack. And the sheep must be content with the provision they have been given. They've got to be content with what this shepherd that is leading them is giving them. It's very tempting to look outside of what this shepherd's doing and think that other shepherds are doing it better and I could go somewhere else. Philippians 4, verses 10 through 14 is what's on our sign. Anybody look that passage up? The secret? What is the secret that's in Philippians 4? The secret of being content. Some of you have looked it up. If you haven't, take a look at it later. Philippians chapter 4, it's right sandwiched in the middle of that is Philippians 4:13, which says what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What comes directly after that is the Apostle Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content. I've learned how to have a lot, and I've learned how to have a little, and in all circumstances, I'm satisfied with what my God provides. And so if we are going to allow God to be our shepherd, then we are sheep who recognize there's nothing I lack. I've learned to be content, trusting that what the shepherd puts in my life is exactly what he sees fit, and he is the only one who knows best. The beginning of verse 2 says, he lets me lie down where? In green pastures. It's interesting, the life and the habits of sheep, the conditions must be met before sheep will even lie down. If they're not content, if they're not free of fear, if there's anything aggravating them, they won't lie down. If they're hungry, they won't lie down. If there's tension among the sheep, they won't lie down. And so the shepherd has to make sure these conditions are met for the sheep to even sleep, to lie down in green pastures. God provides wisdom in handling aggravating and frustrating situations so that we can lie down in green pastures. God gives us spiritual satisfaction for our hunger. When we are hungry, God satisfies us. Blessed are those who are hungry and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled, as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5. God desires to give us peace. In fact, Jesus said to his disciples, "My peace I give," what? "To you." And I don't give like the world does. "My peace I give to you." In climates where sheep thrive, green pastures don't just appear. They must be created. So they don't just show up and all of a sudden, oh, there's a green pasture for us to enjoy. The shepherd goes in front of them to provide it for them. And God goes to great lengths to desire to provide for us green pastures, to give us the contentment to lie down, to give us the ability to enjoy the green pastures. The second part of verse 2 is what? He leads me where? Beside quiet waters. Is water important for a sheep? Yeah, pretty important. Pretty important for you, right? In fact, the sheep's body is 70% water. 70% water. Needed quite a bit of that in order to maintain life. The lack of water will cause major damage to the herd and even death. Shepherds work hard to provide water for their sheep, and Jesus' death provides for us living, what? Water. Sheep won't drink where the water is running rampant. It has to be quiet water. So God leads us to places of quiet water where we can take in nourishment from Him. The interesting thing is along the path, as they're walking from place to place, there are mud puddles. Y'all seen mud puddles before? In the everyday journeys of the sheep, they would create dips in the lane where water would settle and it would be muddy. And some of the sheep, the not so intelligent sheep, would drink from the mud puddles where it's stagnant and nasty and full of insects and pestilence. But they weren't willing to wait until God provided the quiet water that was just along the path, just ahead of them. And so they'd stop and drink from anything that came in front of them to satisfy momentarily what they had going on with them. Is that any different than us? I mean, the world throws mud puddles in front of you all the time. In fact, sometimes it looks really clean. And you might think, well, I can drink from this. It looks like clean, muddy water. And we stop and we try to get satisfied with something that just contaminates our bodies. If we would just wait, the good shepherd wants to lead us to quiet, clean water that will be provided for to give us exactly what we need. Beginning of verse 3, He renews my life. He renews my life. You see, even the strongest of Christians get downcast, either from sin or circumstances. They get into difficult circumstances. So what happens with a sheep is sometimes they'll get what's called cast. Anybody know what that means? For a sheep to get cast? Okay. So you have a pregnant mama sheep, okay, and she's walking along and she's feeling the weight of these babies inside of her, right? And she's getting tired. And the sun is beating down and it's warm and nice and wonderful. And so she decides to lie down. Good idea for a mom who's carrying babies. She lies down and she begins to enjoy the sun, and so she stretches out her legs to enjoy the sun even more. And as she begins to move around a little bit, before long she realizes that she has no control over what's going on now. Because no matter how hard she tries, she can't get back to her chest to get back up. She's kind of helpless. Her equilibrium is all off, and so she can't get back on her feet. And she panics and starts to struggle and kick and squirm. All the while, she's only getting in a worse predicament and oftentimes finds herself flat of her back, her feet up toward the sun, and she can do nothing about it. Well, she can kick and scream and try to make things better, but it only gets worse. Before long, the buzzards are circling because they know what this means. They know this means sudden death, because eventually blood flow stops to the brain and the sheep will die. But along comes the shepherd. You see, he knows the conditions of the sheep, and he understands their tendencies, and he knows because this mom's done this before, right? And he shakes his head, and he goes over, and he massages her and puts her back on her stomach. And he begins to pick her up. There's no blood flow in her legs. She can't stand on her own. And so he picks her up and oftentimes will put her in between his legs, which means he'd have to be a taller shepherd than me. But anyway, he puts her between his legs and then he begins to massage her legs. She gets feeling again, and then before long she's up and walking. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, we get down. Innocently enough, we're just enjoying the sun, living the carefree life as if nothing really mattered, and before we know it, our legs are sticking straight toward the sun, and we can't feel anything. And unless somebody comes along, we're certainly done for. God is the one who renews our life. You see, the sheep was in a condition where life was fleeting, but the shepherd came to renew her life. God desires to breathe new life into what we think is a life that is over. No matter where we are or what's going on, God desires for us to know him as the shepherd who renews our life. Psalm 56, verse 13, "He that delivered me from death, even my feet from stumbling, to walk before God in the light of life." Psalm 56, 13. Second part of verse 3, he says what? He leads me along what? The right path. Why? For his name's sake. Sheep are creatures of habit, and left to themselves, their paths become ruts, and the hillsides get overgrazed and polluted. Left to ourselves, we continue to wander in the same path over and over again, never venturing out to where God would have us to be. God desires to move us out of our ruts onto new paths, from weak pastures to greener pastures, giving us the direction that we need in order that we ultimately might glorify him. So if you were to go to a sheep pen and you recognize that all of these sheep are nasty and dirty, they're malnourished, and it looks like they're not going to make it another day, would you say it's the sheep's fault or the shepherd's fault? Knowing what you know about sheep, it's the shepherd's fault. And so the sheep are a direct reflection of the what? Of the shepherd. You are a direct reflection of your shepherd. If you're letting God shepherd you, it will be evident of your life, and he leads us along right paths, not for you, but for himself, for his namesake, so that we as sheep who are taken care of by the good shepherd will point people to our heavenly Father, and that others will recognize that we've got a good shepherd taking care of us. He's meeting our needs, and he's providing exactly what's going on in our lives, watching out for and caring for his sheep. First part of verse 4. Even when I go through the darkest valley. Sheep are led through valleys to get from one grazing place to another. Oftentimes valleys are experienced as they'll go from one grazing land to another, or even on their way home from where they've been grazing. Christians must go through the valley so that we can grow to trust the shepherd and to help others in life's darkest valleys. With experience, words of encouragement can be given to those who walk through the valley, because you can boldly say, I've been through a valley like this one, and my shepherd, he walked with me, and he'll walk with you as well. But even in the valley, the sheep can find streams of water, and sometimes the greenest grass is found in the valley. We got to trust the shepherd, even when the valley gets dark. The next part of verse 4 says that he guides us because we fear no danger. Why? Because your rod and your staff, they what? They comfort. Now, I could spend a lot of time on the rod and the staff, but I won't. I'll just briefly tell you this. The rod was a carefully crafted and handled from childhood in shepherd villages. In preparation for its future use, contests of speed and accuracy were given As children, all the way up through the adult years, would take the rod and craft it to fit their hand, and would be able to use it to hurl at enemies and be able to use it to guide and direct the sheep. God desires to use the rod on us. It's not fun. As a child, I had the rod used on me a couple of times in preparation for when my Heavenly Father would need to discipline me. We're comforted knowing that our Heavenly Father disciplines us, because a father who loves his children, what? Disciplines his children. And sometimes that's what's necessary. But other times the rod is used to protect the sheep, to hurl it at a wolf that may be coming, or a predator that may be desiring to take its life. The staff, another handcrafted tool, was used in no other profession but shepherding. Sometimes to draw the sheep close to the shepherd so he can inspect what's going on. Sometimes to inspect its wool to make sure that everything was okay. Sometimes God uses his Holy Spirit as the staff in our lives to draw us close to him. But how many times do we push it away? There's no comfort found in a staff that is not used, that is not allowed to be brought near us. Verse 5 says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." The grazing destinations for the sheep were on the mountainside and called masas, or tables, or table lands. The shepherd would go before the herd months before to prepare the table for the sheep, removing anything that might hurt them and being aware of where predators lie, that in order that the tableland might be prepared. Jesus has gone before us. The king became a common man for us. He was tempted in every way we are, yet without sin, helping us to cope with Satan, sin, and self. He has prepared a table, even in the presence of what are our enemies, that we might be able to thrive in the glorious presence of God. You prepare a table before me, a grazing place before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with what? With oil. Again, a lot of time could be spent here, but the shepherd would have used oil-type salves for the head of the animals and sometimes the entire body, because there were insects that wreak havoc on the animals. Here's just a few of them: warble flies, bot flies, heel flies, nasal flies, deer flies, black flies, mosquitoes, gnats, and winged parasites, all wreaking havoc on the animal. Nasal flies would, from time to time, their larvae would travel up the nasal cavity all the way to the brain of the sheep. Sometimes a shepherd would find their sheep banging their head against a rock, trying to get rid of the pain that was being caused in their head. A good sheep would appoint oil to their heads to prevent these kinds of things from happening. Another oil-type salve was used to prevent scab. Scab was a parasitic disease spread from one to another through physical contact, often on the head, cured by oil and rubs, and sometimes the entire sheep was submerged. If we allow him to, God will take the oil of his word and apply it to our head. Because this is where the enemy attacks. This is where, when we're walking through life and life gets challenging, the enemy says, "You can get this on your own," or "You can get through this by going to this substance or this person or this place." And the word of God reminds us of who the shepherd is and how to protect us from these things that desire to bring nothing but destruction and havoc upon our lives. He anoints our head with oil, the oil of his word. My cup does what? Runs over. Now, again, it is only possible for our cup to run over when we claim what is said in verse 1. When we allow the good shepherd to be our shepherd, then all of these provisions of the shepherd for the sheep are experienced, and the sheep are fat and fit to face the coming winter. In essence, David's saying, because of all of God's provision, all that has been mentioned in the previous verses, literally I've got everything I need and it's running out of me. God has blessed me so much that it's oozing out of my pores so that anybody around me experiences the blessing of God because it's just oozing out of me. When we come to the Lord as our shepherd and let Him provide, we will experience our cup running over from blessings. Beginning of verse 6 says, only goodness and faithful love will what? Follow or pursue me. Have any of you ever seen blue lights in your rearview mirror? No raising hands or confessions this morning necessary, but all of us, maybe, not necessarily, but maybe all of us have experienced the time where maybe we weren't paying attention. We'll just chalk it up as not paying attention to what was going on around us, and we realize that there's someone coming after us. We have a couple of options, at least we think. It goes through our mind that we have a couple of options. One, we could do what we see on some of those movies where they get away by driving really fast and really stupid and think we can get away, but then what will happen? They'll just come after us. Until what? They find you. Right? And that's the reality. They'll continue until they find you. And we realize that this pursuit is for the best of all humanity, really, that we maintain some kind of law and order. It's in faithful love. That's the exact word David's using here. Only goodness and faithful love will, it's not just following, it's pursuing. It is a pursuit that will not end until you are captured. Isn't that beautiful? It's not a God who's just waiting around with His arms crossed saying, well, I wish they'd just come on. It is a God who comes after us. What's that pursuit like? Well, it's not experienced in any greater length than what Jesus did when He went to the cross. That's what pursuing us looks like. He didn't just wait in heaven, but He came after us. Surely goodness and faithful love will pursue me. So the next time you see blue lights in your mirror, be reminded of the faithful, pursuing love of God. He ends it by saying this, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. What we know that Scripture teaches us is that we are eternal creatures. Regardless of what the world tells you, you're going to live forever somewhere. When you've trusted in God as the Good Shepherd, when you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you can say without a doubt, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As long as I live, and I'm going to live how long? Forever. And so because He is your Good Shepherd, you will forever live in His presence. The content sheep that have grown to love and trust the shepherd are thrilled to say, I will never be driven away from this, my good shepherd. Stand with me, please. We're going to close the service this morning with a different song than what's in your bulletin. But as we sing that in a few moments, I want to be going through your mind. The question, who is my shepherd? What is guiding and governing your life? What is giving you direction and purpose? Wherever you are, I know that we're all sheep who've gone astray and we desperately need a shepherd. And you have one this morning who's pursuing you. It's time to stop running. It's time to start listening. Maybe this morning you would say, I don't know God like this. Then today's the day when you need to surrender. Throw up your hands and say, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of doing life my way. I need this good shepherd. I'd love to pray with you about that if you need me to, but really you don't have to have me. He's waiting to hear from you. Whatever is going on in your life, I know your hearts are heavy this morning. He wants you to come running to His arms so that He might love you, so that you might know His loving care for you is unending. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for being the only good shepherd, for giving us this, your word, that guides us about what it means to be your sheep. God, I pray that every person here this morning can say without a doubt, you are my shepherd. God, if there's someone here this morning who's trying to run and run life their way, convict them, break them, bring them to their knees before you, that they might cry out for salvation through Jesus Christ, to find you loving them as the only good shepherd. Father, you know our hearts are heavy this morning, and we know that God, as the good shepherd, you desire to comfort and guide your sheep, and even when we walk through valleys. Help us to see the grass that's right in front of us. Help us to see the way, even in these times. Guide us, pursue us, in Jesus' name. Amen.